And the Lord said unto Moses, Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. Afterwards he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether. Speak now in the ears of the people, and let every man borrow of his neighbor, and every woman of her neighbor, jewels of silver and jewels of gold. You know, I'm not sure it's correct to say you're borrowing something if you're not planning on returning it. I'd call that stealing, but I guess that's just me. And besides, there was no commandment against stealing at this point. You know, no Ten Commandments. And in fact, it's Yahweh himself, or the Yahweh Elohim themselves, that are telling the Israelites to steal, to commit fraud, or accept property under false pretenses, or whatever. Because the Israelites are pretending that when Pharaoh lets them go hence, they're only going to head out to the wilderness for a few days and throw a little barbecue for the gods, and then they'll be coming back. But they're not. So the men are going to say to their Egyptian neighbors, I hear Pharaoh's finally going to let us take our little excursion to the wilderness for a while. And I really ought to get some traveler's checks first, but I'm kind of low on cash, hint, hint. And the ladies are going to say to their Egyptian girlfriends, you know, I'd really like to get dressed up for the big party in the wilderness, but I don't have any nice jewelry like you do, hint, hint. And, you know, there's an implicit or explicit promise to return what was borrowed when they return. If they were returning, but they're not, and they don't plan on returning what they borrow. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians. Moreover, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the sight of Pharaoh's servants, and in the sight of the people. So Moses was kind of like a folk hero to the Egyptians, you know, as well as to the Hebrews. He may not have been popular with the royal family, or with the gentlemen farmers who lost a lot of crops and livestock due to the plagues. But to the less well-to-do Egyptians, you know, Moses and Aaron were kind of like Bonnie and Clyde. And Moses said, Thus saith the Lord, About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maidservant that is behind the mill, and all the firstborn of beasts. So the ecological disasters didn't work, and the biological and chemical attacks were just kind of minor annoyances. But now we're talking major deaths. And while most occurrences of the Lord can be interpreted as plural, this one actually appears to be singular, since the singular pronoun I is paired up with it. It says, About midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die. But does that really mean that the singular Lord Yahweh is going to go to all the Egyptian houses himself in one night, kind of like Santa Claus on Christmas Eve? Or does it just mean that he's in command of those that are going to be doing that? And there shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog move his tongue, against man or beast, that ye may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel. So, to add insult to injury, the Israelites and their livestock will be exempted from the slaughter. And we'll see in just a little bit how that was carried out. And all these thy servants shall come down unto me, and bow down themselves unto me, saying, Get thee out, and all the people that follow thee, and after that I will go out. And he went out from Pharaoh in a great anger. And the Lord said unto Moses, Pharaoh shall not hearken unto you, that my wonders may be multiplied in the land of Egypt. You know, I'm wondering if it was really worth all the death and destruction just to multiply Yahweh's wonders in the land of Egypt. You know, just to build up his Egyptian street cred. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, so that he would not let the children of Israel go out of his land. Chapter 12. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb, according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for an house. And if the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goats, and ye shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it in the evening. So after fattening them up for 2 weeks, everybody gets together and has a big party where they slaughter all the little baby sheep. You know, they pry a little lamb chop off of Sherry Lewis's cold, dead hand and cut its little throat. And they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses, wherein they shall eat it. And they shall eat the flesh in that night, roast with fire and unleavened bread, and with bitter herbs they shall eat it. Eat not of it raw, nor sodden at all with water, but roast with fire, his head with his legs, and with the pertinence thereof. Pertinence, that's the entrails. You know, I hate to say it, but this sounds like some sort of occult ritual. And ye shall let nothing of it remain until the morning, and that which remaineth of it until the morning ye shall burn with fire. And thus ye shall eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover. You know, I think this is all to represent that they're ready to go. You know, they got their loins girded and their shoes on and their staff ready to go. And they're not going to put any leftovers in the fridge for later because they won't be there to eat it. And they're going to eat in a hurry because they don't know when the meal might be interrupted and time for them to go. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night, and I will smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt. Seems like they could have used red paint or something, or, you know, or drew some kind of symbol on the door, or hung a wreath of some kind up there, you know, as a symbol. That way, they wouldn't have had to kill all those cute little lambs. You know, I won't eat lamb myself, if I know what it is, or veal either. I used to like those Greek gyros until I found out what kind of meat they use to make those. You know, Arby's has them now, and they try to fake you out by calling it gyro meat instead of lamb. But, you know, we know what that is, and we don't want to eat little lamb chop. You know, we might eat her after she's had a chance to live for a while, or maybe not. Mutton doesn't seem like a very popular meat, although it's pretty popular in Western Kentucky barbecue. You know, veal may be a better example. We don't want to eat the cute little calf, but we don't mind eating that big brute that it grows into. And that kind of bugs me that I feel this way, because it makes me feel inconsistent. So, you know, I've been thinking about maybe one of these days giving up eating mammals altogether and become a pollo pescatarian. That kind of rolls off your tongue. I don't think I could ever become a vegetarian, but pollo pescatarianism might be doable. And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. Ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." So this Jewish Passover feast is actually symbolic rather than occult, in the same way that Christian communion is symbolic rather than occult. Although, on the occult side of things, some Christians do apparently believe that the bread and the wine is miraculously transformed into the body and blood of Christ during communion. 7 days ye shall eat unleavened bread. Even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Well, that seems kind of extreme. You know, I don't know. Again, they'll have to eat in a hurry, so they'll be ready to go. They can't take time to let the bread rise before they bake it. "And in the first day there shall be an holy convocation, and in the seventh day there shall be an holy convocation to you. No manner of work shall be done in them, save that which every man must eat, that only may be done of you. And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for in this selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever. In the first month, on the 14th day of the month, at even, ye shall eat unleavened bread until the 1 and 20th day of the month at even. 7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses." That's yeast, by the way. "For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation of Israel, whether he be a stranger or born in the land. Ye shall eat nothing leavened. In all your habitations shall ye eat unleavened bread." Did I tell you you're not supposed to eat unleavened bread? "Then Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take you a lamb according to your families and kill the Passover. And ye shall take a bunch of hyssop and dip it in the blood that is in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that is in the basin. And none of you shall go out at the door of his house until the morning. For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door, and will not suffer the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you." So these Yahwehian death squads will go door to door and be looking for blood on the door jams, and if they see it, they'll pass on by. But if they don't, they send in the destroyer, also known as the angel of death, I guess. "And ye shall observe this thing for an ordinance to thee and to thy sons forever. And it shall come to pass, when ye be come to the land which the Lord will give you, according as he hath promised, that ye shall keep this service." So Moses, if he wrote this, is stressing that this is a ritual that is to be observed in perpetuity. And I've got to wonder if he didn't come up with this ritual on his own. It doesn't say anywhere that it was made up by the Yahwehians, you know. And he was instructed to impart this ritual to his followers. "And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, What mean ye by this service? That ye shall say, It is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And the people bowed the head and worshipped. And the children of Israel went away and did as the Lord had commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass that at midnight the Lord smote all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sat on his throne, unto the firstborn of the captive that was in the dungeon, and all the firstborn of cattle." Now remember, last episode I mentioned that there was a reason that the Pharaoh Khamos was succeeded by his brother Amos instead of by Khamos' son. And I think this is the reason. Khamos' firstborn son, the heir apparent, was killed by the destroyer during Passover. And if Kamos had any younger sons or daughters, there were a few female pharaohs, they were either just too young or they had not received any preparation for becoming pharaoh. And next episode, we'll find out why there just wasn't enough time to prepare one of them for the job before the job became available. Now, this episode's show art, entitled Death of the Pharaoh's Firstborn Son, is a late 19th century painting by Sir Lawrence Alma-Tadema. It doesn't sound British. He was Dutch originally, but he became a British denizen. And this painting depicts the pharaoh holding the dead body of his young son, an innocent lamb, so to speak. You know, the mother is bent over him, weeping. She's inconsolable. And the pharaoh appears stunned and resentful, you know, and well, he might be. This scene was repeated all through Egypt, not only in the houses of slave masters, but also in the houses of mere neighbors. And not just in the houses, but in the stock pens as well, because it was the firstborn of the livestock as well as the firstborn of the people. And you may say, so what? So what if the cattle lost their firstborn? But if you've ever heard a cow bawling for her lost calf, you know that animals can experience tragedy just like we can. So was this whole thing really necessary? Couldn't the Yahweh Elohim have come up with a little more benign way to free the Israelites? Well, sure they could have, but they wanted to make an example out of the Egyptians. Yahweh repeatedly claimed to have hardened Pharaoh's heart so that the example could be made more strongly. Apparently, the Yahwehlians agreed with Mao that all power comes from the barrel of a gun, or in this case, from the tip of a sword, or whatever the destroyer's weapon of choice was. And Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and all his servants and all the Egyptians. And there was a great cry in Egypt, for there was not a house where there was not one dead. And he called for Moses and Aaron by night and said, rise up and get you forth from among my people, both ye and the children of Israel, and go serve the Lord as ye have said. Also take your flocks and your herds as ye have said, and be gone, and bless me also. And the Egyptians were urgent upon the people that they might send them out of the land in haste, for they said, we be all dead men. And the people took their dough before it was leavened, their kneading troughs being bound up in their clothes upon their shoulders. And the children of Israel did according to the word of Moses, and they borrowed of the Egyptians jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment. And the Lord gave the people favor in the sight of the Egyptians, so that they lent unto them such things as they required, and they spoiled the Egyptians. They despoiled the Egyptians, in other words. They ripped them off. But you may say, well, they deserved it because they were slaveholders. But, you know, the Egyptians that the Hebrews ripped off were not their masters for the most part. They were their neighbors. Remember, you know, it said, let every man borrow of his neighbor and every woman of her neighbor. And if they were neighbors, that means they were living in the same neighborhood as the Israelites, as the Hebrews, right next to the slave quarters, you know, in the land of Goshen. And that had been choice property at first when they first moved there before they became slaves, you know. But it became a slave neighborhood. And then, you know, the property values had to go way down. And the Egyptians living in those areas were not likely to own slaves. It's kind of like the American Civil War. You know, most of the Southerners never even owned slaves. The big plantation owners had plenty of them, but the rest of the white people, the so-called poor white trash, were usually just neighbors. And the children of Israel journeyed from Ramesses to Succoth, about 600,000 on foot that were men beside children. That sounds like way too many people. If there were 600,000 grown men, there'd pretty much have to be over 2 million people, counting women and children, which seems like an unreasonable number, especially when you consider that they'd have been driving their livestock along with them. But the Hebrew word elef, that is translated as thousand here, can also be translated as chiefs, as in heads of households, or, you know, heads of clans or extended families. The chiefs would be the fighting age men of the clan. And those wouldn't include women, children, or the elderly. So instead of 600,000 men, there would have been 600 extended families, which counting women, children, and old men would, you know, might amount to a few thousand people instead of a couple of million. And by the way, it's because of this journey starting in Ramesses, the city of Ramesses, that people think that the Exodus took place during the reign of Ramesses II, which is about 300 years later than when I think it took place. The city of Ramesses didn't exist before the reign of Ramesses II, but there was an earlier city named Avaris on the same site. And, you know, depending on when the book of Exodus was published, it would make sense that the writer of the book would use the current name of the location rather than what had been called back in history. So, you know, so that the readers would know where they were talking about. Now, in fact, back in Genesis 47:11, when Joseph relocated his father and brothers into the land of Goshen, it's actually referred to as the land of Ramesses. And that was for sure hundreds of years before Ramesses II lived and before the city of Ramesses was built. And a mixed multitude went up also with them, and flocks and herds, even very much cattle. And they baked unleavened cakes of the dough which they brought forth out of Egypt, for it was not leavened, because they were thrust out of Egypt and could not tarry, neither had they prepared for themselves any victual. Now the sojourning of the children of Israel who dwelt in Egypt was 430 years. And it came to pass at the end of the 430 years, even the selfsame day it came to pass, that all the hosts of the Lord went out from the land of Egypt. It is a night to be much observed unto the Lord for bringing them out from the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord to be observed in all the children of Israel in their generations. And the Lord said unto Moses and Aaron, this is the ordinance of the Passover. There shall no stranger eat thereof, but every man's servant that is bought for money, when thou hast circumcised him, then shall he eat thereof. So notice, the fact that the Israelites had been slaves didn't turn them against slavery in general. They were okay with people being slaves as long as it wasn't them, or as long as it wasn't they. And if they performed the approved genital mutilation procedure on their male slaves, those slaves could even participate in the Hebrew rituals. And as a side benefit, the results of performing that procedure would probably help to establish ownership in the case of captured runaways. A foreigner and an hired servant shall not eat thereof. In one house shall it be eaten. Thou shalt not carry forth aught of the flesh abroad out of the house, neither shall ye break a bone thereof. All the congregation of Israel shall keep it. And when a stranger shall sojourn with thee, and will keep the Passover to the Lord, let all his males be circumcised, and then let him come near and keep it, and he shall be as one that is born in the land, for no uncircumcised person shall eat thereof. One law shall be to him that is homeborn, and unto the stranger that sojourneth among you. Thus did all the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded Moses and Aaron, so did they. And it came to pass the selfsame day that the Lord did bring the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by their armies. Chapter 13. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Sanctify unto me all the firstborn, whatsoever openeth the womb among the children of Israel, both of man and of beast, it is mine. And Moses said unto the people, Remember this day in which ye came out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, for by strength of hand the Lord brought you out from this place. There shall no leavened bread be eaten. This day came ye out in the month Abib. Now, Abib is in early spring, when all the bad winter weather is over. But it's before when, you know, before the summer when it gets too hot, so it's a good time to travel. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Amorites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, which he sware unto thy fathers to give thee, a land flowing with milk and honey, that thou shalt keep this service in this month. 7 days thou shalt eat unleavened bread, and in the seventh day shall be a feast to the Lord. Unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days, and there shall no leavened bread be seen with thee, neither shall there be leaven seen with thee in all thy quarters. And thou shalt shew thy son in that day, saying, This is done because of that which the Lord did unto me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be a sign unto thee upon thine hand, and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the Lord's law may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in his season from year to year. And it shall be when the Lord shall bring thee into the land of the Canaanites, as he sware unto thee and to thy fathers, and shall give it thee, that thou shalt set apart unto the Lord all that openeth the matrix, and every firstling which cometh of a beast which thou hast, the male shall be the Lord's. The matrix is just another word for womb. And most other translations just say womb. And every firstling of an ass thou shalt redeem with a lamb. And if thou wilt not redeem it, then thou shalt break his neck. And all the firstborn of man among thy children shalt thou redeem. And it shall be when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, What is this? That thou shalt say unto him, By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the matrix, being males, but all the firstborn of my children I redeem. And it shall be for a token upon thine hand, and for frontlets between thine eyes, for by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. Well, that's about all the time we have for this episode. So until next time, keep the faith, but try to go easy on those innocent lambs, okay?